I'm the hottest in the scene.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats.
I spazz on.
To social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful week thus far. So this week, we're going to be talking about black love. And those of you who follow me on social media know that I've been posting different posts, just trying to gauge what everybody's idea is of this thing, black love. And so, again, like I said, throughout the week, I've been polling you guys, trying to get a sense of where you guys are at. So I just want to say thank you to all of you guys who have been, you know, responding to the posts, who shared, who gave your opinions and whatnot. And interestingly enough, some of you guys DM'd me wanting to know what the results of the poll was. So I will share that with you guys a little bit later. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know, we always have a couple of things we have to handle. So PSA, this month, October, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as well as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Last week we had a guest come on and talk about domestic violence awareness. Next week, we're going to have a two-time breast cancer survivor on our show talking about her journey and what she's done as an advocate in this particular field. So, also want to plug in, I have a company named Frida Women NYC. We empower women, but we also have accessories. We're an accessories company for the most part. But like I said, we do a lot of women empowerment initiatives. So on October 29th at the Gentleman's Factory located at the Brooklyn Commons from the time of 6:30 to 9 p.m., we are going to have a discussion entitled Behind the Post. It's going to be panel style. We're also going to be showcasing two films just to talk about relationship goals and what that actually means in the age of social media. So definitely follow me on my Instagram, According to RP, to find out more information about this particular event. So today we're going to switch things up a little bit. We're going to do our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week a little bit later into the show because it ties into what we're actually going to talk about. But I do want to go ahead and go on with the big up of the week. So this week's big up of the week is to the Little Haiti BK Planning Committee. And so those of you who've listened to the show in the past, I've talked about the Little Haiti BK Planning Committee. Basically, Little Haiti BK, there's a section now of Flatbush, of East Flatbush, that's now designated Little Haiti. So this came about because a collective, a group of people came together and basically worked hard under the leadership of Assemblywoman Rodney Spichot. So this past week, well, actually, no, this week, I'm sorry, I'm like all over the place with the days. 2 days ago, there was a Little Haiti BK community forum that took place. And I was very, very shocked to see how many people from the community actually came out to attend this forum. It was done in an auditorium and it was pretty packed. And so I just wanted to shout out the Little Haiti BK Planning Committee because this is what activism looks like. This is what community looks like. We had people taking away from other things that they could have been doing, coming together to basically not just talk about it, but really be about it and to come up with solutions and ideas of how to really revitalize this Little Haiti BK. Because for some of you, you know that there's been a lot of criticism about how we actually will move forward with this initiative. But it was really great to see how people came together under one roof to talk about it and to like lay out what the plans are. And some of these plans were real plans. It wasn't just talk. People were actually laying out real ideas and people were genuinely interested in seeing, Little Haiti BK flourish. So shout out to the planning committee, just for putting this together and for really being, men and women of your word. So a lot of times we have these committees, we have these initiatives, and we don't really big up the people who are actually part of these committees. Who, you know, most everybody who's doing this, nobody's getting paid. This is a volunteer situation. So it's always important to highlight and to big up the people who are actually doing things in our community. So with every high, you guys know there is always a low. And so this week's Womp Womps of the Week, we have three of them. And it's basically another situation where Black lives don't matter. So if you guys were trolling the internet and social media, as I often do, you guys might have come across the hashtags of the week. So we have hashtag Hallway Hillary. We have hashtag Cornerstore Caroline, and then we have hashtag, this one came to me today, Golf Cart Gale. So basically, with hashtag Hallway Hillary, this is a white woman coming out of St. Louis, Missouri, who basically refused to allow a Black man into his own apartment complex. Now, this particular story kind of had a lot of mixed reviews, and so I would really like to know what you guys have to say about this particular situation. So, hashtag Hillary. So the white woman refused to have this Black man enter into his apartment complex, and this was actually videotaped by the man. He recorded the entire encounter, the entire experience. And so this Black man who lives in this particular complex was trying to get into his apartment. It seems from the video that Hillary was exiting as this man was trying to enter. And those of you who live in apartment buildings, you know how it goes. Somebody's leaving the doors open, you go on through. You don't necessarily worry about pulling out your card or your pass to get in. But this woman stated that she didn't recognize this individual, so she took it upon herself to prevent him from entering, even despite him saying that he actually lives there. Now, some of you guys have said, well, listen, if it was me, I would have done the same thing, because I don't know who this individual is, and I'm not going to let him into the building without him showing some sort of, like, proof. And I believe in the video, she had requested that the gentleman show her his key fob or some sort of identifying, you know, information to show that he actually lived there. At some point, the man actually pushes through and gets into the building, but instead of leaving, Hillary decides to follow him with her dog throughout the location, follows him into the elevator, and basically proceeds to ask him, who is he here to visit, what is he doing in this building, etc. She carries on and follows him all the way to his floor and literally to his door, in which she sees him put his keys in the door and enter. But that wasn't enough for her. She proceeded to call the cops, even after seeing the man getting into his apartment. So again, there's like mixed reviews on this. A lot of you are saying that this is racial profiling at its finest, because who was she? But then there are some people who are like, well, you know, she could have been scared for her safety. You know, he could have been a robber. But somebody, and I believe it was from the Baller Alert, I think the author of that particular article made a really good point. He stated that if she was so scared, why did she enclose herself in an elevator with this man and proceed to follow him all throughout the building? And I think that's a really good point. If she truly was scared, she would not have done that. She would have just called the police from the lobby. So that's another situation with, I don't know, with these white people just acting a fool. So that's Hallway Hillary. Now, Cornerstore Caroline appealed more to the people's heartstrings, because this involved a little 9-year-old Black boy. So basically, Cornerstore Caroline, who her real name is Teresa Klein, falsely accused a 9-year-old Black boy of sexually harassing her. So I also saw the videotape to this, and it appears as if Cornerstore Caroline had her back to, I guess, maybe the aisle, if you want to call it that. She was leaning against something. And the little boy had an oversized backpack, and it was the backpack that actually grazed her behind.
But what she proceeds to do is accuse the young boy of sexually harassing her, sexually assaulting her, engages into an argument with the mother of the young boy. Meanwhile, the little boy is crying. He's only 9 years old in elementary school. And the video depicts, you know, her going back and forth with the mother. And so basically, Corner Store Caroline calls the cops, and what she states is, "I've just been assaulted by a young man." I mean, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And so I think 2 days go by, and Corner Store Caroline goes back to the corner store to review video surveillance, in which she sees that it was the boy's backpack that actually grazed her behind. And so she then goes to issue an apology stating, you know, "I don't know your name, but I'm sorry." Now, it's been reported that Jeremiah, which is the name of the young 9-year-old boy, has not accepted her apology. And I don't blame him. Like, what the hell? Like, seriously. So what I really appreciated, though, was the community rallying around Jeremiah and his mother. There were a series of protests. There were a series of town halls I was hearing, and there were some press conferences with regard to this specific issue, because at some point, enough is enough. Now, if you thought that was bad, we have this latest incident, which I think is the latest of them all, Golf Cart Gale. So Golf Cart Gale is a situation that took place in Florida, where this white soccer mom called the cops on a black father who was basically reprimanding his son out loud. Now, the reprimand had to deal with the referee made a bad call, and it seems as if maybe the son didn't take it right. So the father was basically telling the son, "Listen, the referee was right." This woman, however, I don't know if she thought that the black father was yelling at the referee, or at some point, I guess she was disgusted at the fact that he was yelling at his son, proceeds to call the cops. Now, the black father, in wanting to de-escalate the situation because he knows what it looks like once the deputies roll up, he even offers to leave the premises. He offers to leave the game so that he does not escalate anything any further. The woman now proceeds again. She calls the cops and she tells the man that basically, you know, she feels threatened by his behavior. Now, thank God for Good Samaritans. Now, I know there are some of you who are out there who are like, "Listen, I'm not getting involved in these disputes." But there was a Good Samaritan who videotaped or who recorded the incident. And when asked why she did so, she stated that once she heard the magic words that, you know, "I no longer feel safe due to your threatening behavior," she knew that it was time to record, because she figured that it could be a he said, she said situation. And so once she heard the white woman make that statement, she pulled out her phone and recorded the entire interaction. Now, for me, I mean, I don't know. I feel like every week there's like 2-3 of these incidences. A part of me is wondering, are these people doing this on purpose? Because it's just too much. It's becoming way, way, way too much. And so at this point, it's like, where does it end? How do we stop this? Like, every week there is a Caroline Corners, there is a Hillary, there is a Golf Cart Gale. Like, every week without fail, you guys are sending me these things. And it's like, what do we do as people of color? What are we supposed to do? How do we combat this? Because this really can't be life for us. So I'm actually interested to hear what you guys have to say with regards to this. This Golf Cart Gale situation, the Corner Store Caroline situation, and the Hallway Hillary, especially with the Hallway Hillary, because there's been a lot of back and forth with that particular story, because we're talking about building safety. Now, me, I live in an apartment building, and for the most part, you know, I don't know everybody who lives in my building, and I don't just let everybody in. But there have been times where if you see somebody at the door, they're fumbling with their pocket or their purse, I've let people in. Some might say that's a safety concern. Others might say, you know, it is what it is. But that story in particular seems to be a little off. Now, the Baller Alert actually recently issued an updated article in that Hallway Hillary spoke out about the incident. So Hallway Hillary was actually terminated from her job. She worked for, and I think it might be the same property manager or real estate agency that managed this particular property where she lived and where the young black man lived. But after the real estate agency, you know, her employers saw the video and heard what was going on, they automatically terminated her, saying that they do not, you know, promote racial profiling or anything like that. And the company, I believe, is actually a minority-owned company. So she lost her job over this whole situation. But in her recent interview, she stated that she would do it all again if she had the chance to, because she was following building protocol, which apparently states that if you don't recognize an individual, not to let them in for safety reasons. That's her story. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not really sure, but she apparently took offense that everybody is now calling her a racist. But after, even though there, you know, this story can go either way, I think at the end of the day, my opinion is that she was racial profiling. And I also believe that she is a racist, because at the end of the day, if she really was scared and really was concerned, she would have called the cops from the lobby. She would not have proceeded to follow this gentleman all the way to his apartment building. So that's my opinion on these hashtag white people. So those are the womp womps of the week, guys. So getting into the meat of the show, we're going to go into our Urban Dictionary word of the week, which ties in to our topic of black love. So you guys know I love Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary is life. And they always have a funny way, and a sassy way, a witty way of just spinning a definition. So Urban Dictionary defines black love as a spiritual journey that only people who are rich in melanin can experience. A love that is unconditional, a love that can build an empire, monogamous and genuine in intent, this love cannot be stopped. And an example of this is they have a big family that stays together because of black love. I want black love. So the reason that I chose this topic for this week is because I feel like I've been seeing a lot of posts. There are movies, there are TV shows about this black love business. And I was curious as to what exactly is it. I had my own feelings about what I believed, you know, black love meant. But in doing a lot of research, I feel like I'm solidified now, and I in more so my stance as to what black love is. But a lot of you guys actually had varying opinions. Like the opinions were all over the place. So I posted I put up a post this week with a white woman, a black man, two mixed race children, and apparently there was a dog in the picture as well. And I asked the question whether or not this could be black love too. Because we're talking about black love, there's black people in this picture. Can this be black love too? And at first glance, most people, when we think about black love, we automatically think about relationships, couples, dating. And so I put up the picture and I also took a poll. And on my personal Instagram, I am Rita Pierre, 100% of you all stated, no, this is not black love. On the According to RP Instagram, interestingly enough, 62% of you all stated that this, the image of the white woman, black man, two mixed race children, and the dog could be black love. And 38% of you guys said it was not black love. Now, some of you guys were slipping up in my DM trying to get from me the definition of black love. Some of you were like, what exactly is this black love thing? Others of you had specific questions with regards to, you know, well, what about the father and the mother? Are we talking about the father and the children, or are we talking about the children? So I'm going to, so there are a couple of you guys, and I'm not going to shout out your names because I don't know if you guys are trying to be anonymous, but some of you guys had some really, really great points with regard to what your concept of black love was with regards to this image. And then we can go into, you know, what black love truly is. So some of you guys, there was one of you guys who stated in the opinions that the black love in this image existed between the black father and the mixed race children. Now, that was pretty interesting to me because the white woman was not in this equation at all, which leads to the belief that black love exists only between black people. Another individual stated that the mother, the white woman, is the mother of these mixed race children, these black children. And so by virtue of that, her loving on these children could be considered a form of black love. Now, there were many of you from the get, you guys were like, no, this is not black love. This is called biracial love. Some of you guys called it interracial love. But you guys were not here for this image of the white woman and black husband and children being a symbol of black love. And so when I initially posted this, I gave what I believed the definition of black love was to me at the time. And this was without doing any type of research whatsoever. So for me, black love existed or exists between two black individuals. I find it to be a raw kind of love, one that's powerful and one that's just that's black. And the reason that I believe this is because of history. So if you go back and you think about, you know, this slavery, black families were ripped apart. Children were separated from their mothers. Black men and black women were not even allowed to be married. They were forbidden unless you had some sort of sponsorship from a white man. And so even dating from back at that point, black love was never really supposed to exist. Now, if we're moving forward now into the modern day era, we think about mass incarceration of our black men, further breakdown of the black family and the black experience. And so if you just look to see, like, even from slavery time and even from modern day times now, there were a couple articles that I read, and particularly one from the Huffington Post, and it was called Black Love is Revolutionary, basically stated that black love was never supposed to exist. And it was something that the, you know, the white supremacists were trying to prevent from happening. And so by the lynchings, by separating the families, that was their way of, you know, keeping or preventing black love in a sense. And so the article, it actually went on to talk a little more about the reason that black love is celebrated. And the reason that black love is celebrated in the way that it is again, because it was something that was supposed to be forbidden. It was never supposed to be in existence. And when I think about that, I find that to really be true. I find that to be true, and I find that this whole era of black love right now is really a concept. It's really, black love in a sense is an ideal of what, I guess, the nuclear family is supposed to look like within the black community. It's the ideal that black love can truly exist, that a husband and a wife and children can live under one roof and be happy. Because to be honest, growing up, I did not really see black love. I mean, I came from a single parent home. And we're talking about black love in the relationship sense. I didn't have a father growing up in my household, so I didn't really have that idea of black, you know, of a black family, of a black father, black mother, children all living in one house, being happy and loving each other. That wasn't my story. So for me to see how this black love movement is moving forward now, especially in this day and age, it's something to be to be proud of. I think it's something to be celebrated. And so for me, I do believe that Black love exists between Black individuals. That's my particular, that's my personal point of view. Now, another Instagrammer commented in stating that, you know, for single people, she believes that Black love can exist, you know, within an individual in the form of self-Black love. And the reason being is because there are a lot of us who are Black, brown people, and we're not comfortable with the skin that we're in. We're not comfortable being Black. So this Instagrammer found that Black love could exist within oneself. So loving your hair, you know, loving your natural hair, loving your dark skin, loving your features, your curves, all of the things that as we were growing up, we were, you know, we grew up hating. Many of us grew up hating our hairs, which is why, you know, a lot of us have been relaxing since we were probably at the age of six. We were taught that, you know, our hair was not manageable, that we, you know, it wasn't the norm. If you wore your hair out kinky, if you wore your hair out, period, it just wasn't socially acceptable. So now we're in this era of, you could call it self-Black love, where people are now, well, women are now more comfortable with their natural hairs. And you're seeing more and more women opting to wear their hair natural, you know, doing away with the relaxer. So that's one thing. You know, our curves. Some of us were teased growing up for, you know, being very, very curvy. And so we hated ourselves for that. And we engaged in practices to kind of, you know, resemble the, you know, white European models. But now you have Instagrammers who are posting, you know, their real selves, no filters. You know, the cellulite is out there, the curves, the hips, everything is out there. And so with that, I agree in a sense that Black love can be seen in this form of self-love. And so she also had commented with regards to the family. Now, this part, I don't know if you guys maybe can enlighten me on this. I don't know if I feel like the white mother in the image can exhibit Black love solely because she has Black children. That I'm not 100% sure of. And I guess that's something that maybe we can explore more. But based on the feedback from most of you all, it doesn't seem as if the white woman, in a sense, can engage in Black love if we're going at it, you know, with the definition that we've put forth. So the lines are open. We are live today. And so you guys can actually call in and give your opinion with regards to this whole Black love thing and what you guys actually feel about it, what you guys actually think about it. Because it is a debate. And, you know, again, you know, just going through a lot of the comments, there were some serious, you know, back and forth with respect to this particular issue. I have friends who are interracial relationships who actually, some of them felt a little offended with, not necessarily at me, but just with the idea that there are people out there who believe that because they are an interracial relationship, that they are not exhibiting Black love. And so I find that to be very interesting because I guess I can understand where they're coming from in their relationship. They're a proud Black woman or a proud Black man. To say that they are not engaging in Black love, I could understand how it might sting a little bit. But many of you all, your comments were, you know, this is not Black love, but it's interracial love. It's biracial love. And so, you know, one thing I think that should be clear is that a celebration of Black love is not an attack. It's not an attack at all on interracial dating and, you know, biracial love, if you want to call it that. It's not. And I think that that's where, you know, things get a little messy at times. It's one of these things where, why is it that whenever, you know, we as Black people find something to celebrate within ourselves, that it's automatically an attack on white people or an attack on something else. Like, why can't we have black love and why can't we celebrate black love, but also be in support of interracial dating and interracial relationships? I don't know why there seems to be this, you have to pick one. I remember going through some other posts just on, like, on the Shade Room and whatnot, and there's this other outlet, I think it's either We Buy Black, this other social media outlet that usually posts different, you know, different controversial things. And one individual within the comment basically stated that, you know, you can't be for black love and you can't be pro black love if you are in an interracial relationship. And I found that to be very interesting, because I don't know why are you less black if you support interracial dating, or, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. So the lines are open. You can actually call in at 347-305-2245. Again, that's 347-305-2245 to share your comment. So we're going to just give it a moment here and see if anyone is going to call in. I think there's somebody calling in right now. Oh, okay. So they want to send their comment via text instead. Okay. All right. So I will not give the name. And okay. So texter, they don't want to call in, sent in a question. And it goes like this. Okay. So the person says, hi, I'm not going to say their name. They want to know, what is your opinion on... Okay, so you're not asking, she's not asking about... Okay, this is a question about the Womp Womps of the Week. Okay. So you stated that... This is an example of Black Lives Don't Matter. Okay, so this individual sent in a question with regards to the Womp Womp of the Week. And so in the Womp Womp of the Week, I stated that this is an example of why Black Lives Don't Matter. And this is with regards to the hashtag Hallway Hillary, the hashtag Corner Store Caroline, and the hashtag Golf Cart Gail. Okay. So the reason I said that this is an example of why Black Lives, or another episode of Black Lives Don't Matter, is, I mean, I think it's self-explanatory in that, you know, calling the cops on black people, I mean, for me, that's one of the most egregious things that a person can do when it's not a situation that warrants that. So the 9-year-old boy in the corner store whose backpack grazed Corner Store Caroline, that was not a situation in which the cops needed to be called. When the police show up, it escalates situations and it makes things a lot worse. For example, with Golf Cart Gail is a white soccer mom who observed a black father yelling at his son and decided that this was a situation in which she was going to call the cops. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you call the cops if this man is speaking to his son? Even if the man was yelling at the referee, your first instinct is not, let me call the cops. This was a public event. There were many people there. There were no weapons in sight. The man did not make any gestures towards the referee. There was no need for her to call the deputies, basically. It was the sheriff's deputy department. There was no reason for her to call. And then when she states that she's going to call the cops and he asks why, she says that she felt threatened by his behavior. I mean, for me, it just doesn't make any sense at all. What other reason would there be? Like, why would you call the police? And so I find that I don't think that Golf Cart Gail would have called the cops. on a white individual, on a white father, on a white mother that, you know, that was doing the same thing. I don't believe that she would. And so that's why I say this is another example of why Black lives don't matter, because clearly, you know, there's no regard here. You're calling the authorities, and when you call the authorities, you know, it escalates the situation. Somebody can be arrested. When you get arrested, the person could end up having a criminal record. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. I mean, look what happened to Sandra Bland. You know, she was taken in because of a routine traffic stop, and now she's dead. So, you know, whenever you call the cops, in my opinion, especially for things like this, for things that don't warrant it, it escalates the situations. And so I feel like this is just back-to-back occurrences of white people calling the cops for no ass reason, and they just really don't care about us. So that's why I say this is a example of why Black lives don't matter. So hopefully that answered your question. Okay. And, all right. So there is another question. So it looks like you guys don't want to really call in. You guys are sending in your messages, I guess, to stay anonymous. Okay. So this one is in regards to the Black Love Convo. Okay, good. So the person asked, Black love is a social concept. It's a social construct. And they further state that it's Black love is beautiful and that they believe that Black love is necessary in this specific day and age. Now, so I'm trying to see what the question is. Oh, so this is more of a statement. Okay. All right, so I'll read the rest of the statement. So the person writes that Black love is a social concept and it's beautiful, and they believe that it's something that's necessary and important in this day and age. How is it that we can instill Black love in our children in this day and age without coming off as racist or coming off as, or making it an attack on white people? Okay. All right, so I get your question. So basically, I mean, I have a Black son, and I make sure that he, you know, loves himself as a Black individual. I make sure that he understands, you know, why he's beautiful. I make sure he understands that, you know, as a Black person living in America, that, you know, he's necessary and that he's needed and that he's loved. It's important for me to instill that within my child, so he knows that although the world might look at him differently and although the world might look at him and treat him differently because of the color of his skin, that he should never be ashamed of the color of his skin. He should never be ashamed of who he is, especially as a young Black man, and that Black is beautiful and that Black is strong. Now, I understand where you're coming from with your particular question, in that, you know, how do you instill these beliefs into your children without sounding, I guess, you know, I don't want to say racist, but without sounding as if you're anti-white. I mean, my answer to that is, you know, for me, I don't think that uplifting your children and uplifting your race and uplifting who you are and your struggles and what you've been through necessarily downplay white people or is an attack on white people. I don't think that should be really any of our concern, you know, how they necessarily feel, because we're promoting Black love and, you know, and Black excellence. I don't think that that's something that we should be concerned about. I don't think we should be concerned as to how white people feel when we elevate ourselves. I think that's a little ridiculous. I mean, that's my opinion. I think it's a little ridiculous for us to be so concerned with how they're going to feel, because they don't care about how we feel when they say what they say and when they do what they do. I think what's important for us, especially in our community, is to uplift our children, and it is to uplift them in a way that promotes self-love, that promotes Black love, that lets them know that the Black experience is a wonderful experience and that they should not be ashamed of who they are, and they should never feel less than or inferior to any other race. I think that that's what we should be doing, and we shouldn't be fearful of what you know, white people might think or how they might feel. I don't think it's an attack on them. And I think I had mentioned this a little earlier. I don't know why there seems to be this this choice that has to be made. Why there seems to be this thing where if we promote ourselves and if we love ourselves, we are then, you know, it's like we're throwing it in the face of white people, and we're in a sense somehow, you know, attacking them or doing something negative to them by celebrating us. I don't think that that's how it is at all. So hopefully that answers your question. But yeah, to wrap it all up, I did get a couple of more questions, but I do see that we have not too long left. But basically, the idea here with this whole Black love thing, it's not a craze. I've heard some people call it a craze. I've heard some people call it a fad even. That at some point in the next couple of years, this whole thing is going to just be, you know, it's just going to disappear. And we're just going to go back to the next thing. I will say that I feel like as of recently, you know, I've been hearing a lot more about Black love and just trying to understand what exactly it is, because I don't know about you, but at least one of my friends, you know, on a weekly basis is saying things like, you know, I want Black love. I want Black love. And, you know, that's what they need. And so with that being said, you know, I never really understood so much what the concept was. I always considered it to just be something with regards to dating. And so when I would hear people say things like, I want black love, my automatic reaction was more so that, okay, they just don't want to date somebody who's outside of their race. They just, you know, they want to date somebody who's black. But now, in terms of digesting some of the comments that you guys have made and just some of the research that I have done, I find that Black love, it transcends, you know, the traditional concept of relationships. It's not just something that you find within, you know, a romantic relationship, if you will. It's something that can, you know, lie within yourself in terms of the concept of Black love. And it's also something that you can experience with your friends, with your family, with your children. I think Black love is really a celebration of many things. One, that we're able to openly love each other. In that, again, back in the day, Black people were not even allowed to get married. So we're able to love each other openly. I think Black love is, in a sense, acknowledging and sharing our current struggles. I think that it's acknowledging that we need each other in order to move on in this society, in order to move on in life. I think the fact that we have these commonalities within each other is something that should be celebrated. And so for me, when I think about Black love now, I no longer think about it in terms of a romantic relationship, but I think about it more so as something communal. Something that, you know, I can have Black love within my community. I can have Black love within my home, even if I am a single parent. I can have Black love within myself. And I think that understanding this concept in this particular way will definitely change the way we treat each other, change the way we view each other, change the way we even interact with each other. And I think it's important just to understand and to note that Black love is not an attack on interracial dating. It's not an attack on interracial relationships. And I think for those individuals who are in interracial relationships, who struggle with this idea or who feel offended at the fact that they're not necessarily considered in this Black love conversation, I think it's those individuals, for those individuals, this is where the self black love comes into play. Loving yourself for who you are, you know, loving yourself for what you are and for the contributions that you make within your particular relationship. I think there was one comment that stated that, you know, black love is closed off to people who are in interracial relationships, but I don't think that that's true. I think that this idea of black love and this concept of black love is something that's going to expand as time goes on. I don't think it's ever going to expand to include white people, to be very honest, because I think that this is something that's truly reserved for people of color, people who are living every day the black experience. And so I think moving forward, what I would leave you guys with respect to this idea of black love is that it is powerful, it is strong, it's our history, it's our struggle, it's the story of our struggle. And black love is happiness. It's, in a sense, a middle finger to the Western world, to white culture, because they've tried to prevent it for so long. They've done whatever they could to prevent black love from happening, you know, in terms of, you know, slavery, in terms of lynchings, in terms of, you know, separating, you know, family, breaking up families, in terms of mass incarceration. I mean, if you look at it, there's been just so many examples of how society has done their best to prevent black love from happening. And so I think that, you know, with having an understanding of what black love truly is and how it's necessary for our community, how it's necessary for our children, I think that, you know, moving forward, our conversations will be different and our outlooks will be different, especially, you know, those of us who are you know, looking to be in relationships. I find that the stereotypes that have been perpetuated about black women and that about black men, a lot of times we've internalized those stereotypes, and we've internalized those concepts. And in a sense, we've ourselves have kind of contributed to this attack on black love without even really realizing it. So I think having a better understanding now of what it is, and I think the way that we've been able to kind of get to this conclusion is through the dialogue. It's, you know, I learned a lot just from you guys on social media and the different concepts and the different remarks that you guys had with regards to it. It definitely opened my eyes to see this concept, this social concept, in a different light. And so I definitely thank you guys for, you know, being a part of the discussion and for giving your opinion as to, you know, your thoughts and your beliefs and not being afraid to do so. Because, you know, posting your thoughts on social media can get you trolled. And so a lot of you guys, you know, really, you know, were very genuine and were very, very, you know, explicit and were, you know, was very bold with the comments that you guys posted for the world to see. So I definitely thank you guys for that. And, oh, unfortunately, obviously, the time is upon us and the show has to come to an end. Hopefully, you guys were able to get something out of this conversation. Thank you all for tuning in today. I know it's a little, even, I don't know, today is just, it was just a weird situation. There's echoes, the machinery's all acting up. But thank you guys for being loyalists, even through the struggle, and tuning into today's show. Definitely follow me on social media at According to RP. We're on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can also follow me on my personal Instagram, which is I Am Rita Pierre. Rita is spelled R-I-T-H-A. We're definitely going to continue on the conversations on social media since today was kind of like all over the place. But again, thank you guys so much. And
I wish you guys a very, very good weekend, and tune in next week. Remember, next week we have a very special guest who is a two-time breast cancer survivor, and she's going to talk about the amazing things that she has been doing within the community to raise awareness. And this individual, she is not like, you know, some 50, 60-year-old woman. She is somebody who is in her 30s. So, you know, this breast cancer situation, it can affect you at any age. It can affect anyone. And it's not just women that get breast cancer. So definitely tune in to hear her story, to hear her journey, and to hear about the amazing things that she has been up to. So, guys, again, thank you so much for bearing with me today. It's been an interesting, interesting situation, but I love you guys. And so with that being said, it is a wrap for today's episode. Follow me again on social media to continue the conversation, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anywhere, anytime.
Download it now.
Thank you.